Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is from the book of John. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And they answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." As we approach the celebration of our nation's independence, we want to talk about freedom and truth. People are prepared to risk everything, and make great sacrifices, and even put their own lives in danger to find freedom from oppressive governments, freedom from fear, freedom from war, freedom to be educated and to work, and freedom to live in safety. The truth has been under attack since the very beginning of time. We can look back at creation in Genesis chapter 3 and see that Adam and Eve lived in a perfect world that only had one prohibition. That one thing that they were prohibited to do was to not eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But of course, Satan, the great deceiver, twisted the truth and said, "Is that really true? Did God really mean that you shouldn't eat from that fruit, which is so pleasing to your eyes and certainly would taste really good?" Satan attacked God's truthful statement. And we can go fast forward through history and we can see that that question about truth comes up time and time again. When Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, Pilate demanded to know if he was a king. And Jesus said, "You are right. I came to testify to the truth." But then Pilate responded with, "What is truth?" Pilate acted as if he did not know the truth. And in our day and age, God's truth is daily assaulted and attacked. In fact, we're told by much of society and culture today that it no longer or accepts or believes in an absolute truth. Today, your truth, depends on how much a person determines is relevant for his or her life. It's like choosing between Coke and Pepsi. Today, we learned that there is an absolute truth, the absolute truth that lies in God and the scriptures. When the Lord tells us that there is sin and tells us that we are sinners, that's the truth. But also, when the Lord tells us that there is forgiveness, there is forgiveness, and that's the truth as well. The psalm writer says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." And even though the world might disagree, and even though Satan would assault the fact that there is truth, there's no argument there. There is truth. As our text tells us this morning, this truth shall make you free. The truth is, as the Lord points out in our text, we are not slaves. We are God's children. And God's children, the family of believers, are not slaves. This is the truth that will set you free. In the Gospel of John, Jesus once again was opposed by those who were against his teachings. They did not like at all that Jesus said that he was the Son of God. And there were also those who opposed his authority, wondering where he got that power to perform the miracles. In verse 13 of this chapter, John, Jesus defends his teaching. Jesus talks about his authority, which came from God. In the verse that comes right before our text, we are told the result of the preaching of his word. We are told even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. That was the truth that set them free. Our text begins by saying, to the Jews that had believed in him. Previously, the law, which the scribes and Pharisees had burdened them with, held the Jews captive, one law after another, until they thought they were never able to be free. But when Jesus came and said that he came to set them free, their reaction was quite different, wasn't it? He says then, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And you would think that they would be really happy to not be bound by the law anymore. But what was their reply to this promise of freedom? They answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone." How often have we heard the Jews use this tired excuse, like a trust fund boy who's been pulled over by the cops and says, "Do you know who my dad is?" They basically said to Jesus, "Look back in our ancestors and you'll find that Abraham is our father." And the Jews always relied on the fact that it was Abraham who believed and it was credited to him as righteousness. The Jews of Jesus' time thought that this faith of Abraham was enough to get them into the kingdom of heaven. They had to be just good enough at following the laws that Moses gave them and all of the embellished rules that the religious authorities added on to that. And they said, "Well, we've never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Oh, how mistaken they were. Jesus' answer was quite simple. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. He didn't go and point out to them that they had their slavery in Egypt or captive to the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the current oppression of the Romans. He reminded them that indeed they were enslaved by sin, which enslaves the whole world. His message of truth for them was that they had been set free from sin. Jesus' message of truth for them was that he came as the Son of God and the Savior of the world to pay the price for all of their sins and their rebellion. Because the Bible states very clearly that our natural imprisonment by birth is impossible for us to get out of. Galatians says in chapter 3, the whole world is a prisoner of sin. Whether you're the addict or their therapist, a prostitute or a preacher, the bank robber or the bank teller, you are born under sin. You're a slave in it in one way, shape, or form. The entire world is. The writer of Hebrews says, man is destined to die once, and after that face judgment. Death and judgment is our destiny, and there's no escaping it. Jesus told Saul that the world of Jews and Gentiles was clearly under the power of Satan. In Acts, he tells Saul, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." You see, no mere person has the power to free himself from the power of sin, no more than the visibly or physically demon-possessed in Jesus' time had the power to free themselves. Jesus said the only way to be free from these tyrannizing and enslaving powers is the Son. The Son sets you free. He has the power to break the grip of sin through your own flesh, to break through your own self-righteousness, which is something that is so powerful that sometimes even Satan cannot fight it, to get to the very heart of that which runs your flesh, your spirit. The only thing that does this is the truth of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus himself, the way, the truth, and the life. Today we're reminded that the truth of Scripture is that sin is still sin. And each and every day we sin against God in our thoughts, in our words, and by our actions. That is the truth of Scripture. Again, the world tries to deny this truth and tries to say that sin's an old world. It's an outdated concept. It doesn't apply to us today. But it does. At times, because of our sinful nature that we're born with, we are held captive by sin. And there is no escaping sin on our own this side of heaven. It doesn't matter whether we are committing the great sin, or many sins, or few sins, or one sin. It's not the quality or the quantity of your sins. It's sin. What does Scripture say? For whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. So we are not free in our escape from the slavery of sinning, or at least it appears that way. Even Peter says, they promise them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. And we all fall prey to sin sometimes, or the devil's temptations, or the allurements of the world. But the truth is that the Lord has set us free, and we are free indeed. We can be thankful for the example that as Luther struggled through this idea of freedom, as he struggled with a sin-burdened conscience, the Lord opened up his heart to see that there was freedom in the righteousness of Christ. For the longest time, when Luther read that scripture about the righteousness of God, he thought it was the wrath of a holy God that stood opposed to him. Think of the woman in the gospel reading that came trembling and scared. But after he studied it time and time again in the book of Romans, he came to realize that the righteousness of God is what covers up sin. It is that righteousness that covers up our sins. It is that righteousness of Christ and his perfect sacrifice, his innocent blood and sufferings and death that has set us free. That is a truth that sets us free. And we are no longer slaves. We have, through Christ, the power to overcome sin. We are no longer held captive by Satan because Christ has defeated the power of Satan. As we read in Romans, but know that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. So rather than you and I facing the end of our lives and ending up at the side of Satan, instead, because we are free, you and I end up at our Savior's side and co-heirs with him in eternity. This is a truth that sets us free. We are no longer the slaves to the things of this world. Instead, we are God's children. And as we look at these verses, Jesus wants these Jews to understand that their spiritual rebirth made them children of God and was far more important than the fact that they were descendants of Abraham. And he says to them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. He wanted them to step back from that lineage to Abraham for a bit. Jesus said, if you listen to me, you will follow me. If you hold to my teaching, you're going to belong to me. What a great blessing that is, that we believe in the sacrifice of Christ as our Savior. He says to them, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, and a slave has no permanent place in the family. And they knew that deep down. Those who even owned slaves realized that if the slave came and did his duty, and he lived in the house, he was provided with food and clothing and shelter. But he didn't have a permanent place there. He was allowed to live with the master because he was performing a service. When the master no longer needed him or his services were completed, the master could just as easily sell him off to someone else. But it's different for people who belong to the family. As Jesus said, a slave has no permanent place in a family, but the son belongs to it forever. Now, the Jews were thinking that because they were children of Abraham, but Jesus said, you are going to be my disciples and you will need to follow my teachings. You are going to be my children and you will belong in my house forever. This is how our text ends. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. They would be free from thinking that their past history was enough to save them. They would be free and understand that the Son of God was indeed their Savior. So when we look at the grace that comes to us, those are the watchwords of our Reformation, believers are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, by Scripture alone. When we look at grace alone, what an awesome and blessing and mystery that is for us. That is truly freeing us from that bootstrap way of life, that try-harder way of life. God, in his grace, sends out his message, not just to the children of Israel by birth, but to you and I, as Gentiles, are also children of Israel by faith. That is God's grace. As Paul writes in Ephesians, the mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. We share in this eternal promise because God has chosen us by his grace to be his children, to be his believers. That is a freedom that you and I have. And that's the joy that we have in living this life, the joy that we can share as we hold to the teaching of grace in Christ because we are his children and his disciples. There are people around us who are held captive by the darkness of this world. They're scared to death because of all the gloom and doom that we see in the news and around us. And we get to tell them that there is something better. There are those who are still held captive by their sin. We can tell them, you are forgiven on account of Christ, and proclaim freedom to those captives. We can proclaim good news to the poor in spirit because we know that the good news and have joy in living in this life and living by the truth that has set us free. God's truth is still truth, absolutely. The world might deny it, the world might try to reject it, but God's word is truth, and it is still the truth. It will always be the truth. And the truth is, we are no longer slaves to sin in Christ. We have a new identity that is alive by God's grace. It allows us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. The truth sets us free because we are no longer children of Satan, but we are God's own children, brothers and sisters of Christ. That is our freedom. Our freedom is what we receive because of God's truth, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone. And that reminds us that we are no longer slaves, but we are heirs and God's children. Amen.